Acts 5:17-42. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now, when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the Senate and the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain of the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him."
But when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him, he too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. Lou, what a story. I feel like we covered a lot today.
There's a lot in this passage.
So have you ever had like an encounter with an angel?
Not that I know of.
I mean, but every other time you're like, I wonder if that was an angel.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I've kind of had some of those too. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if the Lord visited me there in this person. I mean, just somebody that shows up or does something or does something kind of, you know, peculiar.
And you spend 2 hours with him and he didn't sin at all in the process of talking to you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That could be a good sign. Mm-hmm. So this is obvious. I've never been in prison though. I've never been freed from prison. So I can't relate in these ways, but man, what an amazing moment. And then they go look for him. And of course they're gone. And then of course, you know, I love Gamaliel's advice, which I want to talk more about, but before I do, what are your thoughts on the passage?
Well, just as a counselor, this phrase in verse 17, to be filled with jealousy, I mean, that's just, that jumps out at me, mm-hmm. as a counselor. I mean, everybody struggles with jealousy, but when jealousy fills it to such an, it fills your heart to such an extent that there's like room for little else, then you really have a jealousy or envy problem. I don't know. I think you look at Camilla, you look at the apostles. I mean, the word courage just kind of jumps out at me. You know, Camilla had to go against the rest of the Sanhedrin. It took courage for them not only to preach the gospel, but I mean, notice they say you. I mean, they're using the second person in sort of an accusatory manner against these people who have their fate, as it
you
were.
You killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they always say that. This is like the third or fourth time they've said that in Acts.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it is interesting that this brings up something that I think is really important. There were a lot of messianic figures around the time of Christ. Mm-hmm. So for someone to be seen as Messiah, for someone to be followed as Messiah, even, and I would say this, more significantly than Jesus was, right? I mean, if you think about it, at the end of Jesus's ministry, I mean, a lot of people turned their backs on him. People were yelling, crucify him. His disciples dispersed. There wasn't much left. Some of these guys, I mean, some of the like Simon Bar Kokhba, like that's a famous revolt. Mm-hmm. Simon, son of the star. He, you know, there was even money minted, right? Mm-hmm. There was no money minted in the time of Christ. A lot of these guys had very influential people that were surrounding them. No, none of Jesus's followers were that, you know, consequential. Mm-hmm. And yet, obviously, as Gamaliel said, seems like the movement of Christ was from the Lord, because it hasn't just dispersed. It hasn't just ended. In fact, it's flourished. It's flourished all over the world, something that we're still a part of. We recognize that the Christ is actually this Jesus guy from Nazareth, that he was the anointed, that he was the promised Savior of Israel. And by being the promised Savior of Israel, he's the promised Savior of the whole world.
Amen. One more thing on courage. I mean, first of all, do you agree that's what we're looking at here?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot we're looking at here. I mean, I think we're looking at the anointing of God. We're looking at this as a verifiable movement. But yes, because of that, I mean, certainly, I mean, the whole book of Acts is filled with courage. But it's courage that comes. It's not like these men are like naturally courageous.
Right.
This is the same, you know, these are the same folks that nobody was there at the crucifixion of Christ. You know, these are the same folks that were all dispersed, but now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I think of like Peter, who denied Jesus to a little girl. And then now he's speaking before the highest officials with enormous confidence.
Do you remember that phrase, courage of their convictions or courage of your convictions?
Yeah.
For me, the thing that gives me courage when I'm tempted not to want to be courageous is the conviction of Scripture. It's my conscience that tells me, I mean, even as a counselor, it's my conscience that says, Lou, if you don't speak, if you don't confront this person, if you don't address this thing, then you're sinning against God.
Well, and I would say, not your conscience, but the Spirit of God within you, yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, that's what I think is happening here. I mean, there is such a stark difference, at least in terms of courage, pre-Pentecost, post-Pentecost. Post-Pentecost, it's like these guys are unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they actually are agents of God. Now, they're aware of the Spirit's work within them. Why? Because they're submitting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They're in fellowship with other believers. They're submitting themselves to the Word of God, to prayer, to fellowship with the saints. And in all of that, the kingdom is advancing, despite the worst conditions. It's a good word to all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
So for Lou Priolo, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. 865-1737 or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for our daily rhythm.